Hello, welcome to or welcome back to A Runner's Life podcast. Thanks for joining me for this episode with Coach Ali. Now, before we jump in, I just want to give you a little bit of an introduction to her, but I want to thank my patrons who support the show. I want to thank Noble Pro for supporting this episode, and also I want to thank all the listeners that are listening, sharing the podcast. It really means a lot to me, and you know, thanks to everyone that sort of comes up to me when we meet in person and, you know, tells me a little bit about how the podcast has had a positive impact on them. You know, I really appreciate it. So focusing on today's guest, she is a running coach. She swam competitively from elementary school to high school. She is ridiculously smart. From the conversations that we've had about social media, etc., she's got such great business acumen, and this is developed in part through various reasons, from getting an MBA through to her experience in corporate America. And we really dive into how she spent 6 years in this sort of way of working, and then she sort of felt that it wasn't really fulfilling what she was about, and she made the shift into running and being a running coach, which is doing a phenomenal job right now. So we talk about what runner's life means to her, what lessons running has taught her, specifically how she stays present and she enjoys the journey, and she gives some tips to how she actually does this. We talk about how you can do the best of what you have. We talk about her first marathon and the lessons that she's learned and the challenges she takes forward and imparts and uses to enrich the people that she coaches. The cool thing about these conversations for me is that we really dive into what a runner's life means, and I feel that, you know, Ali definitely brought it to the table. So with that being said, let's head over to the conversation. Hi Ali, welcome to A Runner's Life podcast. How are you?
I'm good, Marcus. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks. It's good to connect with you on my podcast because we actually spoke on your podcast initially, didn't we?
We did. And I learned a lot of useful, amazing things. And I can't wait to continue the conversation.
So it must be quite cool to be on the other side of the mic now, not having to ask the questions.
It is. It's different, but I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Good stuff. So this podcast is called A Runner's Life. What does a runner's life mean to you?
I love this question. When I saw it, so many things went through my head, because I'm just like, I'm living one, but I'm also living, you know, a run coach's life. But a runner's life to me really is anyone who, you know, thinks about running, or anyone who is a runner. It just, running is a lifestyle. So any part of, you know, life that embodies or kind of pertains or relates to running, I could relate to a runner's life. You know, it could be a story. It could be, you know, a running club. Like, there's a lot of things that relates to. So there's not really one answer that I have for that. But I think that, you know, any runner could have their own unique story. And that's what I love about the saying a runner's life, because everyone has their own running life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's why I love asking the question, because everyone has a different experience of this thing that we call running, and we all look at it through, you know, different angles and different versions. So that's really interesting. And I think I like the fact that you sort of said there that, you know, running and life, I mean, they complement each other, I believe.
I do. I believe so too, in many ways.
And what sort of lessons are you sort of learning recently now that you're finding that you're transferring from life into running and vice versa?
That's probably my favorite question. Apologies, I live in New York City, but you know, I'm inside. I guess running has taught me how to be resilient, it continues to teach me how to battle through my own personal battles. You know, during this pandemic, it honestly hasn't been really easy for me at times. And running has been my saving grace. You know, of course, I've had to stop myself from running out the door and follow my training plan. But, you know, at times, I'm not gonna lie, I've felt like that on that way. But I love just beginning my day with a run because it sets my tone for the day. And, you know, I know you could probably really well relate. Hard harder workouts, like interval workouts or tempo runs, when you nail a workout, there is no better feeling. You just feel like, I mean, I just feel like I'm on top of the world, and I feel like my day is just so productive. I'm just elated. And at the same time, when I don't nail a workout, I'm almost the same way, but it's almost like an experience, I want to say. And I just know I can do better. And that's kind of how I translate running to what I do every day. I try to be better and do better and help other people do the same.
And I guess when you look back at it, like when you've done that work, you've done it off your own steam. There's no one's given it to you. You've done it for your own making.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean like running yeah, itself?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, it's something that you do. It's your way of connecting with the world and just being yourself. I think it's not something that someone's given you. I mean, up to a certain extent, you know, you've got your shoes, you've got your running kit, but in terms of the actual movement itself, that's you.
Yeah. I never really thought of like in depth about running like that from that angle, but it's my own 2 feet, you know, pushing myself forward. It's that's why I think running is such a mental sport in a good way, because it challenges our mental toughness and pushes me at least past my limits in a good way. You know, I've really learned that if I really want something, that this goes for anything. You really have to work for it. And, you know, running has taught me to actually be very patient with myself. I do need to say that, because good things happen with time, as I'm sure you know. And I'm like laughing here because, you know, you're going to have one day where you ace a workout, and you're going to have one day where you feel like crap on a long run because your legs are fatigued. But that's okay, because we're human, and that's what life's all about. And that's what running's all about.
Yeah, it's like trying to do the best with all the sides of running. Like you say, sometimes it's great when you nail a workout, but then you know that you've got to kind of keep it in perspective, because there may be one run in that month or two runs or whatever that may not go to plan, and you just have to go, okay, cool. You know, I did my best on the day. On to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. For definitely. And you mentioned something on my podcast that I thought was really cool about, you know, going just based off of effort and how you feel, and not obsessing over numbers and not obsessing over the clock. I almost feel like that sometimes could be self-defeating, for me at least personally, and that just translates to other areas, and it's just silly, because running should always be enjoyable in my eyes. That's why we do it, right? We like the challenge. It's good for us.
Yeah. I think it's a tough one though, because like when I first started running, I would say that I was trying to be more rigid with the way that I thought about running, in terms of like, if I do this, then I should equal this. But running showed me that that doesn't always happen. Obviously, it happens in life. I mean, no, life isn't this sort of fairy tale, and running is this kind of big bad bear type thing, but I don't see. But it does really sort of expose and show some of the sides that, you know, we're really good at, but also some of the sides that we also need to work on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In every aspect.
This could be like a series of podcasts in itself. So there's yeah, so much you could go down in that area.
Yeah, you know, it could. I mean, there's just so many angles, and you know, I love running because I really, really do love the running community.
Yeah.
Every time I pass a runner, I just smile and try to say hi with my mask on.
it's hard to do that, isn't it, now with the mask? You can't really tell. I mean, your eyes give away so much, but then it's really hard to read people's faces.
Especially if you have glasses on, yep.
Yeah, if you've got glasses and a mask and a hat, I mean, it's game over.
you're kind of like incognito there, but it's you could try.
Yeah, but I say that though, I think some people can smile with their eyes. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Like you can tell.
Yeah, yeah. And then I look at myself in some selfies. I'm like, man, you just look dead in the eyes.
Yeah, same actually.
I was like, I was doing a selfie with my physio the other day, and it's like he's smiling with his eyes. You could see it. And me, I just looked the same. I'm like, dude, like, what the hell? It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. We're making the best of it. You know, you might just have a new skill you have to master.
Exactly. You know, you get one gift with one hand and you get something else in somehow another hand. So, yeah, one of those things that sort of pass on. Anyhow, moving on. What is the best piece of advice that you've been given for your running journey?
To do the best I can with what I have in the present moment. And I know that's a lengthy line, but just to really stay present, to stay present in the mile you're in, to stay present in the moment you're in. I will fully admit, I am the girl that jumped into the New York City Marathon for the first time thinking about the 26.2 mile marker.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's really the best strategy to start a race with, but just also enjoying like the opportunity, you know, that life has given me to run, being able to stay present. I think that applies to every runner, to be honest, just really enjoying the journey, because that's what kind of builds our story, every single one of us. And I mean, every runner.
So just go back to that point about the New York City Marathon. So you were saying when you started that race, you were thinking basically 26.2 minus the time that you're on going through. So you're kind of always comparing it to the end.
I was always thinking of the finish line. Yeah.
Where do you sort of think that sort of thinking comes from?
Being a little hard on myself, maybe nerves, overexcitement almost. You know, I'm not really sure. Maybe like a little self-doubt, to be honest. Like, can I really do that? Can I really like get 26.2 miles under my belt? You know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, so that was my first marathon. It was hard for me to enjoy every moment because of that mindset, actually.
And what did you learn about yourself afterwards, after going through that process in that way?
That you can't do that because then you're going to run out of gas real fast. No, I'm kidding. But actually, that's not completely false. If you just aren't able to enjoy being present and just focusing on the best you could do with where you're at, enjoying the little amount of time that a marathon takes in comparison to the rest of our lives, you're never going to succeed. Because, you know, you never know how you're going to really feel on mile 18 or mile 22 or mile 25. You know, I feel like personally me, my body kind of warms up at mile 4. So that's like why 5Ks are really difficult, like distances for me. You know, I excel more in the half and the marathon, but we'll see once I get to race one. And yeah. It just really taught me to just really focus on putting one foot in front of the other.
I mean, first out, I just want to go back to that 5K. 5Ks are hard. There's a certain amount of time of suffering, but it feels like an eternity. So I can completely relate to that.
It's a difficult event.
It is. But, you know, when you get through it and it all goes well, then it's great. But yeah, they are tough. As much as, like, you know, the marathon and the bigger distances get respect, I mean, the mile, 5Ks, those distances, you know, are tough, very tough in their own right. So I think all the distances deserve some respect. But I was just thinking, like, with the point about just about being in the present, and look, it's not just pointing this at you, but I just think it's something that even I've been thinking about, and it's a conversation I've had with other people on the podcast about, you know, being in the present. And it's so hard because, you know, we are brought up in a world where we're just like onto the next thing, and we're, you know, living this life, but we're not living the life is passing us by whilst we're trying to get to the next thing. And, you know, people talk about this thing, and not just you, but I've done it myself and heard other people saying it, and when you hear people saying it, it's almost for like you don't almost believe them. Even when I say it, sometimes you just almost don't believe yourself when you're saying it, because it's something that you kind of still struggle with, to actually be fully present. And that's, being fully present is really tough, especially in a world where there's so much, you know, vying for your attention.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And it's very interesting because, like, me saying that right now, stay present, well, that second just passed. So just really taking things one thing at a time, which, easier said than done. But if you're able, I feel like when I've been able to nail that, I've done a lot better in terms of my runs, especially my work, my life, my relationships. Yeah. And just really enjoying life, because it is happening now. And it's important to have goals, but it's almost like if you're always worrying about what's going to happen, I don't really truly believe there's a full way to enjoy anything to its fullest, at least.
Yeah. I mean, how do you do that in application?
Good question. You mean stay present and stay in the moment?
Yeah.
I'll speak out loud to myself. And I'm so, like, that's brutally honest. So if I'm by myself, for example, I'll just start reciting, you know, if I'm blogging, I'll start speaking out loud, like solely focused on, you know, the task at hand. If I'm running, I have said one step at a time. If I'm engaged with someone, let's say we're at the dinner or we're at a coffee date, my phone's down, because I know myself. And if once I start texting, I will lose I just won't be focused on, you know, the person sitting across from me. And that's just rude. So practicing, you know, little things like that. I took your advice, and journaling has, even for 20 minutes a day, has really helped me personally slow my mind down and just stay present by doing that, for example.
That's really awesome to hear. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, like what you've done, I think it's so cool. Like, you have to be deliberate with these things, and it's like, you know, the physical work, you know, you got to make an effort to do it. It's like brushing your teeth. You don't just brush your teeth once in your life and you're done for life. You got to do it every day. So saves the mental work and the physical work.
Yeah, that is very true. Very, yeah. And it just puts a lot less pressure on you.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a part of running history or running culture that speaks to the runner that you are or you aspire to be? Let's just take a quick pause to tell you about the sponsors of the podcast. I want to shout out Noble Pro, who are supporting this episode. They are a forward-thinking company that provide treadmills which elevate the running experience of the runner. Connectivity to the global running and fitness community are essential features of the treadmills and the company's ethos. There are a number of Noble Pro treadmill models to suit your budget and cater for the elite runner through to the new beginner. To get 5% off your Noble Pro treadmill, use the code RUNNINGLIFE, all one word, and head over to www.noble-pro.com. Now let's head back to the conversation.
Funny you ask. I think the runner I am, coach aside, I was at first a very competitive swimmer, actually, a distance swimmer. So I've always been endurance. That's really been my thing. And my mom is a runner. I used to not like running, actually. And I went on a few runs with her, slowly built up my mileage. And then I discovered a passion. I loved the way running made me feel mentally and physically. And I'm a little bit stubborn at times, meaning, you know, I love to push my limits. I love races. I love the competition. It's fun. I love seeing how far I could take myself on my two feet. I definitely do hope to do an ultra one day, because I actually trained for my first marathon subconsciously by doing ultras, because I was just, it just helped me mentally, like, get out of my own head. It gave me a lot of headspace. And so, you know, running history, I haven't really dabbled personally, in terms of following a very, very, very tightly structured program for myself up until I want to say like this past year, because I didn't want to be a competitive runner. I wanted to coach and, you know, just jumping in races with my runners, which I do. It's just so fulfilling for me. There's nothing more to see someone else accomplish something that I love to do. And not to get off topic, but, you know, a part of my running history, I feel like has led me to do that, because just being resilient when I couldn't feel my legs the first time I ran the New York City Marathon and I crossed that 26.2 mile marker, there was no better feeling in my life, I think, today that I could think of. It's just incredible. And I just wanted to help others feel the same way in any way I could. And then I realized, you know, I'm 31. Why not, you know, dive into this with the runners that I'm coaching and see what I could do? I know what I'm lacking. I've never trained my speed. So that's exactly why I hired a coach to coach me.
When you spoke about crossing the finish line and it being like one of the best feelings that you've experienced, can you describe in detail what that was? Was it something that was revealed to yourself or something that you learned about yourself? Can you just dive into that a little bit more?
I was just crying. Like I learned that I am capable of achieving greatness, which was that for me, running 26.2 miles, even though my legs were not maybe necessarily trained for it. I felt amazed, almost addicted. Like I wanted to sign up for another race immediately because I was like, wow, my body, me, I just did that. No one else. My two feet just did that. And just to see all of the other runners crossing the finish line with me, kind of just all in the same boat together, it was just, I just got the chills thinking about it. It was just an incredible experience seeing that too, crossing the finish line with other runners going through what I was going through. And, you know, I'm sure they were thinking all different things, but, you know, even limping and not being able to get up for a little bit, because my legs were a little sore, I was just like, I felt so fulfilled. I was amazed at myself in the best way possible.
That's great to hear, because when I ran Boston and finished the sixth star, I felt a similar type thing. So I want to see whether we're on the same page here. When I did it, it was almost like you look inside yourself and you realize there's actually a lot in there that you probably didn't really appreciate. You had a lot of strength in there that you didn't appreciate you had. Now you know you've got it. It's a really empowering feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I found it. Like running helped me find it. My inner strength, maybe. And confidence.
Yeah. And I feel like, so once you find it, it's like, what do you do with it next?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, of course, I wanted at the time to sign up for another race. I wanted to see what I could do. But then I had a career change and, you know, I became obsessed with distance running. I guess it comes from my endurance background as a swimmer. And I wanted to help others do what I was able to do or find it within themselves to do it. Because once you experience what running a marathon's like, it's like, wow, I want to help other people feel like this way, like realize that they could do something that they might doubt themselves about now. Because that's how I felt initially.
You spoke about that and sense of community. Can you give an example of that experience that you've maybe passed on to someone you've coached in terms of races that they've done and in terms of that sort of feedback?
Yes. The first marathon runner I coached was through the New York City Marathon. I was 45-year-old man, had one kidney, and he wanted to break 4 hours. And I was his strength coach, his running coach, and I ran alongside him the entire race. And, you know, of course, we had our bickering moments, but I told him, you better hurry up. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. And I just remember it so well, like going up, like going through Central Park, and, you know, he crossed the finish line. He had to get, you know, like hydrated, obviously, because he has one kidney. And I just, he was like, I did it. He got 3:55. And I knew who was going to. It's just, it was, he was sitting in a wheelchair at the time. And he said, I'm signing up for Houston. I'm like, okay, one thing at a time. But like, just to see that excitement and being in that experience with someone is just as good of a feeling to me as my own success in running.
I think it's amazing to hear, but I think also you've got, it's almost tempering that excitement, because I think it's so easy when someone's done something like that to think, okay, I need to fill up and do another race again and do another one again. It's not always straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you kind of manage that with your athletes in terms of sort of managing their expectations?
That's a good question. So Pear was the only one I did a full marathon with. I did one with one of my runners, Jen. But she, you know, different runners, I guess, have different outlooks, on, you know, how soon they want to dive into something, but I'll usually let anyone just kind of like sit on that topic for maybe 48 hours, a few days, before actually revisiting that conversation, because a marathon's a lot on anybody's body. So what I will do is, you know, I always ask questions. I love to get people talking. I always ask, why do you want to run a marathon right away? Like, what is your end goal? What is that going to do for you? Like, you know, because once anyone establishes a goal, it's time to set a new one, which is great, but that just might not be a marathon a month.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important to, yeah, interrogate it and then just give them some space like you just did there to actually process it and like just enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
You've done an amazing thing. Like, your body and your mind are going to be pretty tired for a while, so just celebrate it and then come back, you know, all that stuff you've had to give up to run, not give up in a bad way, but you know.
No, it's a lot of time. Yes,
I think that's really cool. One thing as well I want to dive into before I move on is, you spoke about your swimming career a few mm-hmm. times, and I just wanted to know how that has maybe helped your running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was a very competitive swimmer. I was like borderline way too young, but very close to the Olympic qualifying time for the 200 meter backstroke. That was my stroke. And I just swam to the point where I was just beat to the ground. You know, I let it get the best of me and I just didn't love it anymore. But I will say this, definitely built up my endurance in a different way. And the one thing I really, really think it helped me with is breathing. And that translates heavily to my runs.
Like, can you explain?
Yeah. In every way. So breathing properly, like from my pelvic floor, from my diaphragm, having the mind muscle connection to be able to understand what it feels like to inhale deeply all the way down to my diaphragm and exhale out from my belly through my mouth, instead of just breathing around from my sternum, like I'm having a panic attack, which is it's not even something to joke about. It's something that I used to experience when I was working in corporate sometimes, and I would get stressed out. I would just struggle to, you know, take a deep breath. But then, since I was able to breathe the proper way, I was able to calm myself down by taking a few deep breaths. And, you know, running, if you're breathing improperly and you're not able to fully use oxygen as you should, and, you know, your breath as you should, it's going to hinder your performance. It might lead to injuries. It's going to waste so much energy. It's hard.
So are you breathing in through your mouth and out through your nose?
I think I breathe in through my nose. I think
Okay.
so. I try to breathe out through my nose too often,
Okay.
but it doesn't always happen when I'm like working really hard.
It's like I'm trying to practice it now. Obviously, you can't see me doing it. Because that's what I think, really. When do I breathe through my nose or my mouth? I think sometimes I breathe through my mouth, not through my nose.
Yeah, it's
I try to
me
breathe deeply.
too, probably. It's yeah.
It's like I need to go for a run now. All right, let's stay here for 5 minutes, Ali. Let me just get ready, go out for a run, and just keep it going for 30 minutes. I'll be back.
Yeah, see you in 30.
It's like, well, now I've concluded that blah blah blah. Well, obviously that's not the case, but I know what you mean. I think breathing is so important, whether in running, and you even spoke about panic attacks, and like you said, that's such a serious thing, because when people experience them, it does feel like there is an immediate threat, and to trying to regain some sort of grounding is so important. I mean, I'm not a counselor here, so I'm not trying to say you should do this or do that, but I think breath is just so important.
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, I know a lot of people run also for stress relief. I did. I still do, even though I have an ambitious goal. You know, I know what it's like. So anyone that I coach, it's not that I know exactly like what they're going through, but I might be able to better help them because I do have anxiety. I do. I just know how to handle it.
And I think that's a good thing that running teaches us as well, isn't it? Like sometimes you could be in a really challenging moment within a race or in training, and it's just like, how do you make the best next step? Not that how do you get rid of the problem, it's how do you learn to live with it and just kind of work through it.
Yeah, I love that. And that, you know, the same kind of goes for life because, you know, when you encounter problems in life, and this is the way running translates to life as well, is how do you face your fears? How do you face your problems?
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, like, the marathon and just running in general can just expose you. Like I spoke in your podcast when I did my first few marathons. Man, the marathon exposed me royally. Like, and although it really sucks at the time, now I can look back and go, oh, I've learned from this. But at the time, it was awful. So I'm not going
Yeah.
to sugarcoat it. It was pretty bad, but this learning to kind of roll those punches isn't an easy thing. So when you say it to people, just be in the moment. Some people are like, yeah, but you're not in my head, so I can completely understand other people listening to it and going like, I don't get it. So everyone sort of goes through things in their own times.
Yeah, and I love how you said just roll with it. Like, that's all you could do. So you just gotta do it. You just gotta do that. And think of all of the silver linings that could come out of that. I'm huge on silver linings. I always try to think of something positive that could come from a negative thing.
I think that's a great way to look at it, just to be optimistic and always looking for that next thing rather than, yeah. I think that's a cool way to look at it for sure. And you've got a podcast yourself, which I've been on your podcast, and you've done interviews before, and you've probably been asked a lot of the same questions before, even not just by me, but even probably by the people that you coach as well. Like, how do you do this? How do you train for this? Etc. etc. Now, imagine, put that to one side, what would you ask yourself if you were interviewing yourself, or what topic would you like to discuss that you aren't always asked that you'd like to talk more about?
How speed training has impacted my marathon training. How I guess anaerobic like endurance and working my speed has really helped me to become more economical, efficient runner and just a better runner.
Can you talk a little bit about how you're doing that?
Yeah, sure. I was never a track baby, so I was never, you know, on track and field. I know you know probably better than I do that a lot of track athletes, they, you know, like they wind up being superstars, like distance running superstars. But there are outliers, and there are also ones that, you know, athletes that don't do track at all, and they have to work their speed maybe in later years. I think that working my speed, and I'm talking intervals anywhere from 200 meter intervals, like past VO2 max pace, which is, you know, faster than a 5K race pace. Like those are working my heart so hard, but ultimately what that has led me to discover about myself, I want to say, is that I'm able, my threshold is much higher than it was a year ago. The pace that I could hold and the, you know, and everything that goes along with it, my effort, my heart rate, my running form, is a lot quicker than it was before. And I'm not, you know, all over the place.
So it's basically getting some of those quality workouts in as part of the overall program.
I always, yes, I've started including speed work for all different types of reasons, because injury prevention is one of them, and I'm huge on that. I truly believe that incorporating even, you know, 30-second strides, working bouts, followed by recovery bouts, you know, 30 seconds working hard, 30 seconds pulling it back to a recovery jog, really does help with injury prevention. Because I don't know about you, but I found that while running fast, your running form kind of fixes itself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it kind of forces you to kind of be within a certain area. You can't be too sloppy with it. Otherwise it doesn't really work. Like, you can't just sort of keep talking your body in a certain direction. Otherwise you can't maintain that speed going forward in an efficient way.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And, you know, even for some of like the shorter intervals, I've just realized for even long run days, I'm like, oh, I feel a lot stronger. I feel like I could talk at this pace. You know, my heart is working less hard. So I think that's also helpful. But, you know, where you're able to pump through more oxygenated blood out through your right ventricle, that's initially coming in through your left ventricle, not to get too sciencey, but, you know, you're just... Yeah, and you're improving your cardiovascular fitness as well through easy runs more so. But I think that speed work does have an impact on that.
So it seems like you're in a good place with the speed work and moving forward in terms of, you know, adding that to the endurance side. And you laugh there, like,
it's
a secret that he doesn't know. So
no, I'm laughing because I'm thinking now, I love endurance, but I'm thinking of like holding a 15 mile tempo run at, you know, a certain pace. Like, that's a different animal.
Yeah, I mean, what's the overall aim to with that speed in the marathon? I mean, what are you looking to do with it?
To be like you, Marathon Marcus. I want to break 3 hours. I'm serious. I'm running a half marathon in 12 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that'll be a good, I think races are great for conditioning as appropriate. You know, maybe not racing like an ultra would be so smart right now. But it's a half marathon and it's in Florida, so I'm looking forward to that a lot. But yeah, I want to break a sub-3 marathon. See, you know, just see what I could do.
Yeah. When I was laughing there, I wasn't laughing at you going for the sub-3. I was laughing at the fact that you call me Marathon Marcus. I always find it really funny. Even though it's my Instagram name, it's weird when you hear it back. I don't know why. I wrote it. I came up with it, so I can't be too bad. But it was always funny when you hear it back because you never refer to yourself as that. That'd just be weird, you know. You can't refer to yourself in the third person.
No, but have you ever had anyone walk by you and say Marathon Marcus?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So
and also, you can't say that's not me, because then
yeah, that's not me. That'd be funny. But you know, I like the name, it's catchy, and also you are a marathoner, so it's fitting.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it about the sub-3 that, you know, brings you that you want to break it? I mean, I could sort of talk about my reason, but I'd be interested to know about yours.
That's a good question. So, you know, at first I was like, I want to just get a PR, right? Because I've kind of like plateaued, but I wasn't, you know, incorporating any, you know, structured workouts that like I needed for me to get to the next level. And I found it. And then once I started seeing my paces, I was like, a really good goal for me would be to break a 3-hour marathon. If I have like a 1:26 half right now, you know, I'm going for a 1:24. I think, and I have the endurance, I just need to do more mileage and just, you know, work my longer tempos. I think it'd be a pretty cool thing to just see if I could do it. I want to see if I could physically do it. And I think I can. It's a personal challenge and a personal goal. And it's a major milestone, you know, across the board for a lot of runners. But I just think that there's something about, to me, just like being able to do that in my life. Wow. Like, I still like that. It still amazes me, the thought of it.
Yeah. I think it's such a common goal to that runners want to break, but I think I've got no doubt that you'll do it, especially with your half time. It's just extending it out. And if you've got a race in mind, you're thinking of going for a sub-3 this year.
So I did. San Diego just got postponed, and that's what I was going for. But I think I'm going to go for a fall race. So I am in Boston, but like 2020 still has to go, I believe. So I don't really know when that's going to happen. So I definitely a fall marathon. I'm just not sure which one yet because I just like heard this news this week, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because no one really knows, and it's really country dependent and what's happening with the COVID situation. So hopefully find a race. And, you know, it's been difficult for the event organizers because, you know, they're losing money and, you know, there's some races that may not come back. So hopefully that you get the opportunity to put it into a race. But otherwise, the way I look at it is that the worst case, if you don't, then at least you carry that training into the next race and you'll be in a better position to run even more under sub-3.
Yeah, so that is why I signed up for a half marathon, because I'm training and I'm not trying to overtrain, but I'm not trying to, you know, take it up to, you know, the volume I'd be working myself at a marathon. It's a different monster than a half. So just keeping myself in, like, kind of on my toes, still in the racing game, maybe prolonging my marathon. That's okay. I'm cool with that. Yeah, I would love to see better than a sub-3 goal, but, you know, one thing at a time, just like one step at a time. I'm going to do the best I can, have fun with it. You know,
I think that's so important, yeah. But essentially, there's been progress there from where you started to where you are now. And even though we've spoken about a sub-3, I'm just trying to get an idea and a feel on what is the drive to be your best. I mean, what does your best look like? Have you got an idea of what you think?
That's a great question. I don't even know yet. I don't think I've gotten there yet.
Do you think you'll ever get there? I mean,
yes, I do.
And then when you're still there, do you think you'll still keep running, or do you think you'll be like, that's it, I'm done?
Absolutely. I will keep running, maybe not competing like that. I'm not, you know, one step at a time, but I love running. If anything, I'll just, you know, run recreation, like just leisurely, just to enjoy nature. I just love being able to run and move my body.
Yeah. I think there's different stages of your life, isn't it, where you're, for what the reasons why you run, ultimately you've got to enjoy it. But then at the same time, when you're trying to eat the best out of yourself, then there is a little less fun in some aspects, because training, each run has a purpose, so you're not always like, yeah, I can't wait to do that tempo run today. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Can't wait to do that speed workout today. Some days it's like, oh man, but then you're just like, I'm grateful that I can get out and run, you know, I can get out and do what I need to do, I get to run.
Yeah, you know, because there's a lot of things we can't control, and I used to make so many excuses, like really, like, oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's this. Oh, the wind was blowing in my face. But I just stopped. I just stopped doing that. And focused on all of the good things that I could control. And yeah, it might have been windy and I might have felt like I was running backwards at times, which is true. But, you know, I just kept going. doing the best I could.
That's the only thing that we can do, really. Yeah. And I just want to take a sidestep. We spoke about earlier in the conversation about you having a corporate job before, and then you made the change into what you're doing now, into working sports and coaching people. Can you sort of talk us through how that change came about and why working community is so important? Because I meant that you mentioned that as well.
Yes. Okay, so I worked in digital ad sales. I was a director on the Marriott account for Zaxxas, their programmatic ad company. But I actually started my career, like my corporate career, in Condé Nast, which is one of the biggest magazine publishers in the world. And I have a business degree, an MBA in economics, and I kind of graduated college, and I was like, okay, this is what I went to college for. This is, I'm here. And I never felt fulfilled. There was always something missing. I loved to spin. I loved just fitness. And I would go to doctor's appointments and say that, and I would really go downstairs on the treadmill at Equinox to run. I just started following running and just immersing myself within the running community. And, even a few of my coworkers at the time said to me, so when are you going to go into fitness? And I said, you don't just do that. So for 3 months, I was just, planning an exit strategy. And I'm talking about in my sixth year in corporate America, because that's what I really, I wrote lists and lists and lists, probably daily, of all the pros and cons. And I kind of fine tuned that list over a period of 3 to 4 months. It didn't happen right away. While I was doing that, I was also training my friends on the side, not necessarily runners. But I was running, too. And I didn't really have a serious running goal. I just found the sport fascinating. And I really liked the community. And so I knew that I couldn't just become a run coach. You can't just do that. So I spent a lot of time mapping out how I would get to my end goal of being here. And once I did that, it took me 3 more months to actually have it in me to really just make the transition. I was really scared. I was really scared of walking out of a career that I was making a very good living to pursue my passion. And I'm a firm believer that it was never of course everyone needs to make a living, but it was never money that drives success for me. Something always in me has just felt that passion makes me successful as a person. If I could help someone or others doing something that I love too, there's nothing better to me than that. And so I just wanted to figure that out. I wanted to go down that route, and I was very set on it. And I remember going to HR and resigning, and they didn't believe me. HR didn't believe me. So I handed my resignation letter and I walked out, and I just remember tears streaming down my face, but I felt free. I felt scared, but free. And so I was so excited for what was ahead, but I wanted to just tackle it all at once, which is not possible. And so I started my career as a personal trainer at Equinox Rock Center, because I was I need to learn everything about anatomy, how to train people, how to work with people, see if this is really something I want to pursue, because it's completely different. And I found a lot of success there. I worked my way up to, I don't know if the systems, but they have their own proprietary school that they put all their trainers through. I met a lot of amazing people. Two of my clients actually still train from there. Once I was there for a little under 2 years, I couldn't work with runners. I couldn't specialize with runners because there's only so much you could do in a gym. And so that's when I kind of went off on my own, and I was freelancing for a year. And then I filed my LLC last January, went with Ally LLC. And I started coaching runners. Now, the funny thing is that it wasn't really online until COVID hit. I said to myself, I got to find a way to move my entire business online. I have to do this. So I made a gym in my apartment. Let's just leave it at that. So I could, you know, train my my runners across the country on Zoom, made a studio here. And I just transitioned my entire business online. So I wasn't necessarily coaching local runners anymore. I was more coaching runners across the US and just really kind of connecting with all of the runners, coaches I knew in order to make that happen. And I still am still new in the industry, but, you know, just taking it one day at a time, and I haven't looked back.
I think it's amazing to hear that story, and it's almost hard to, you know, get a sense of, like, what am I trying to say here? You've obviously worked really hard to, especially in your former career, to get the MBA and then move into that sort of corporate world. But then it's such a big decision. Like you said, it must be so scary to make that jump. And it's almost hard to get my head around it, because on one hand, you were still so young at that time. So it's like, what was the change for you? You know, because you kind of led up to think, I'm going to do this and I move into this career. But then to make that change in, I guess, your 20s to do that, it's quite, I guess it's good, because obviously you know yourself. You know that's not the right thing for you.
Yeah. So working in corporate, it was amazing to apply what I learned in business school and everything, in real life. You know, I learned how to run a business ultimately, by working with, you know, three different companies throughout my 6 years. And I had that foundation. So that was the part that put my mind to ease, because I knew what I had to do to build a brand, you know, to create a business plan, to create a business. And it's a lot of moving parts. But it was everything about, you know, coaching and exercise physiology and all of those other things that I had to, you know, really, really learn. When I made this transition, I was just so sure of it, because I really didn't like what I was doing. It wasn't fulfilling to me. I just felt like I was on a hamster wheel. It was like the same stuff, different day.
Yeah. I love the way you sort of did that without swearing. It was just like that pause.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving to the side anyways, you know, so they've got two sides. You've got running as a passion and running as your business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you keep the joy in running whilst obviously running is your business and obviously fitness is your business as well?
I love it that much. I love the sport that much. But I also love helping people who love it that much, because I could relate to them very well. And of course, there's times where I'm like, oh my God, running. That's all I talk about. But I'm just passionate about it. You know, of course there's days where I don't want to run. Of course there's days that, like, I don't want to work, but I love learning about, you know, everything in the industry and just all the different people in the industry. There's such amazing people in it with all different stories, and they're all amazing in their own way. And I guess that's what keeps pushing me forward. I love, you know, I'm inspired by all the runners I see on Instagram. I've been told I'm inspiring, and I'm very grateful that I am, but, you know, I just put my best foot forward every day, like, because I'm living what I'm most passionate about, running. It gives me, I feel like, a meaning in life, which is, that sounds like I'm more interesting than that, but I, you know, I just love doing it, and I love coaching people through it. Whether that means if they're learning how to do it for the first time or they are going for a PR, it doesn't matter.
You spoke about it as well when you did the New York City Marathon the first time, where you felt that sense of pride and you could see it in other people, and you're sort of thinking, how could I, you know, help other people, you know, achieve that in other areas? I guess, was that the trigger for you there at that point?
I think subconsciously, and I didn't realize it, but What really did it was my first Boston Marathon. Like when I finished, I was like, this is, I want to help other people do this, like find this within them. Because I said to myself, like, just, it was Boston, and all the marathon and the three marathons before that too. And I was just thinking, like, if I could do this, other people, like, there are other people like me that could do this. And I'm not like an athlete, you know? And I wanted to, in some way, help. I wanted to make that happen for other people.
Do you see yourself as an athlete now?
Yes. Which is, I mean, it's funny to me because I'm like, I don't know, 31 and a business owner. But yeah, I mean, like, sure, why not? I think so.
I'd say you are.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think you're pretending. So the stuff you're doing.
No, so, no.
Yeah. And you put the work in. So yeah, I definitely would class with that. It's just, I think, you know, we've got different levels of what we think it is or it's not. But I remember speaking to someone about potential and, you know, saying, you know, you could be at the upper spectrum of potential for whatever age or whatever class you're in. And I think you're looking to be your potential in that. So I'd say you are.
I mean, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm really grateful to, you know, just to be able to do what I do.
Yeah. I think that's such a great thing to think about, really. So, moving towards the kind of final stretch of the show, what guest would you like to hear on the show?
Oh, everyone. I would love to hear like Sarah Hall.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I would love to hear like Jack Daniels.
Okay. That'd be cool.
That would be so cool. Or like Phil Maffetone, like one of them.
Yeah.
Ryan Hall would actually be really cool. And you know, why not throw Molly Seidel in there? Any really, like, I would love to hear any female runner, to be honest, any female marathon runner. And I know that's very vague, but I just, I feel like female distance running has been given a lot of attention in recent years, like it didn't before. And so it's just very inspiring to, as a female, just hearing others share their story and just, you know, just people with inspiring stories, like runners with inspiring stories.
Yeah, totally. And so from the outside looking in, people will have like preconceived ideas of like who they think you are by looking at stuff on your Instagram and social profiles. But when you look back at yourself in the mirror, who do you see looking back at you?
I see a girl who went for her dreams and never looked back. I want to say lady who went for her dreams. In all seriousness, that's what I see. And that means, like, you know, I'm able to help people and I'm able to do this sport that they're doing too.
What makes you feel most empowered?
Coaching, like being able to help someone fulfill their goals. There's just something about it for me that just, it like fills a hole in my heart. Not like I have a hole, you know, but like it makes my heart more full just to know that I had a part in changing someone's life for the hopefully the better.
I know I've sort of covered this, but I'm always so curious to know why that's so important.
I've always been a giver. And this might actually be a flaw of mine. It is. I don't look out for myself enough because I'm always, you know, like just more concerned with others or, you know, that's how I've always been. Yeah, I mean, I think that ties to a huge reason why I care so much or I hope to be able to help others in a way where I couldn't help myself, actually. That might make sense because, you know, I got like, as a one-liner, I got very injured myself through, it was a mixture of things. Eating was a very big part of it, and overtraining was a huge part of it. And I was stubborn and I ignored it. And I remember saying to myself, if there's anything I could do to, like, when I coach runners, this is when I was still at Equinox, to prevent them from making these mistakes, I would love to help someone do that. Like, because it was a depressing part of my life, but I learned a lot of it, a lot from it as a silver lining. And I think that's why I'm able to help other people.
I know you spoke about, I found it really interesting that you said about, you know, helping them, but then how does helping other people help you? Is there something that you're, I don't know, how does it fill you back up? And is there a point where, is there a too much? I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't be community focused or helping other people. I'm just curious as to where that comes from. And
absolutely. Well, this is like kind of a twofold answer. The first, I mentioned that, you know, when I got injured, it breaks my heart to see other injured runners or just things that could have been prevented. Whether it's just from being too stubborn to get a coach or just not following a training program, that fills that hole in my heart, being able to help someone maybe not go through something I went through that was like bad and took me back, was a setback in my career, like that almost had like left me with a femur fracture where I would have been out of running for my life. I also love being an athlete, I could say, and running because I'm learning things as I go. And I could incorporate a lot of things that I'm learning, not necessarily things about my personal training, but certain things about, you know, speed training, for example, or, you know, like how to talk yourself up, how to, you know, self-motivate, just different things I've learned throughout my training that I could kind of apply to my practice and apply that to the people that I coach where it's necessary. Like I'm very hands-on coach, and it's a very customized approach I take with each runner because everyone's different. Everyone has different needs. So I think that, yeah, that's why I get fulfillment. You know, everything about the sport excites me, and I want everyone to be their best.
That's really interesting to sort of hear. I think it's just, we sort of spoke about that, the injury, potentially getting that injury, and that kind of really gave an insight into, you know, that was quite a pivotal moment. Like you're saying, it's like you just don't want that to happen to other people. So if you can pass on that knowledge, then that's a bonus. And like you said, when you cross those finishing lines and you thought, actually, this is something that really connects with me, this is something I really want to share, not just myself but with other people, and how can I move this forward? And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and you know, to really let others understand that my coaching philosophy has been developed over, you know, the past 3-4 years. It hasn't just been fine-tuned in a day. It's evolved with me as a runner, as a fitness professional, as a run coach. And it doesn't, like, these things don't just like happen overnight. But I've found that with time, I've been able to help people by using my method. And I'm very, very big on cross training because of my injury. It's actually what kept me sane and fit when I was injured. And so that's why I love to help. I have it in my Instagram bio, actually. I love to help injured runners stay fit because I know how frustrating it is not being able to run. And that's also a part of just my coaching philosophy and, you know, preventing injuries. But also, it's a different kind of conditioning, especially when we're in a holding pattern right now, kind of.
Yeah, we're different in a holding pattern. And just sort of going back to that point about being injured and stuff, and say someone's listening to this now and they're injured, what advice would you give them in initial stages to come to sort of some sort of acceptance and not stay in that kind of place where they're not moving forward to help themselves.
Yeah.
What did you do to help you?
Yeah, that's a great question. Allow yourself to be upset and don't fight your emotions. That's okay. But be open. Be open to every opportunity. And then maybe fine tune your niche. Don't just, you know, be closed minded and, you know, talk about it. Immerse yourself with other runners that, you know, might be going through similar things. And try out new things. See, you know, what types of things you like. For me, I tried to box. And I'm not a boxer. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I'm just so not a boxer, but it really helped me to get that kind of cardio feel. I was in a different kind of conditioning. My boyfriend now, he's an ex professional boxer, and he taught me how to box, and I loved it. And it helped me strengthen my body in the ways that running doesn't also. So like in all planes of motion, you know, twisting the transverse plane, frontal plane, going side to side. You know, so I didn't even realize subconsciously that I was like building myself up to be overall like really fit, and not lose my fitness, but keep myself sane mentally and not just sulk. You know, of course, it's important to have your moments and let yourself have them and journal them out. But it tells your story, and there's going to be a day where you look back and it's just going to be something that you might be able to help someone else through.
Yeah. It's just great to hear these lessons, these life lessons, and it's all the experiences that, you know, help you, but help other people. And even when we talked about boxing, I think, and you probably know this as well from your behalf and stuff that you've done, that sometimes people feel like boxing, when you throw a punch, it's from your arms, but actually it's from your feet upwards through your body, through your arms. And that's where you generate the power. And then I guess that almost links to back to running and making the importance of the step.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I couldn't really like step that well. So it was like, I was trying to like use my hips, and I was like, my hips don't move that way. But like, I got to put up this video of me just like hitting the bag at Equinox. I was just, you know, it was funny because I had no idea what I was doing, but it just made me feel good.
Is this going to be like one of those Transformation Thursdays where you start off pretending you don't know how to box, and then like you're suddenly some sort of badass ninja? Like,
no, I'm really not. I'm really not. I promise you. Like, it's you'll laugh, it but like in a good way, in a fun way. I mean, that'd be pretty cool though.
Playing it down.
No. Anyhow, like it's I don't have that swag, but you know, like maybe one day. But I'm definitely more of a runner. It's boxing's hard.
It is. It's definitely a young person's game. So, you know, and this could be a podcast in itself about boxing, but I won't go down that avenue. So, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that be?
Listen to your body, Ali. Really, really, like in every aspect.
Yeah, I think you get, I don't know, it's so true. It's like just listen to those signs rather than ignoring them.
Yes, like if you're hungry, eat. If you're tired, maybe don't run today. Like little things that could just keep compounding until you break.
Was that for a dramatic sound effect, that little drop?
No, but I'm sitting on a stability ball, and you know, for my posture actually. Completely unplanned.
The extra sound effects. I mean, that was beautiful. Thank you. What is one non-negotiable behavior, habit, or even superstition that you do daily?
I love gummies. I love Pro Bowl gummies, and they're for running. But I eat them as candy often, like every day.
Okay. I've not come across that before, so you'd have to show me what they look like.
Oh, you will. if you Google Pro Bowl energy chews, you will know.
Okay.
Don't get them because you'll be addicted.
It'll be like a slow, like, yeah, slow downhill spirals from seeing the photo to 6 months down the line and an addict. So,
yeah, that's just a funny one, you know, and trying not to be like so serious, but that actually is true. They're really good. I love sweets.
No, I'm the same. Bad jokes aside, yeah, they are. So, yeah, I hear you. I hear you with that one. You know, Ali, it's been great talking to you.
Likewise.
Where can people follow your journey online?
They can follow my Instagram at runwithali. Ali has two L's. Or they can head to my website at www.runwithali.com.
Awesome. Thank you for diving into your running and also diving into why you run and just really going into, you know, why it's so important for you to help other people. And I think that really came across, and that's so amazing. You know, like I said, it definitely comes across in your Instagram profile and, you know, testimonials you're getting. So it's been great to talk to you, and you know, thank you for being a guest on the Runner's Life podcast.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for having me, Marcus. I can't wait to, you know, stay in touch and follow each other's journeys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of A Runner's Life. If you found value in this episode and you want to support the show, please share with your community, post on your social media channels, and encourage them to listen and subscribe. If you want to support my work directly, you can become a member on Patreon at www.patreon.com/arunnerslife. If you want to get updates on the podcast or you want to see what I'm up to, you can follow me on Instagram at arunnerslife_podcast and at themarathonmarcus. Your time is valuable, so thank you for spending your time listening to this episode of A Runner's Life podcast.